How many of you knows Jesus is the author and the finisher, the developer of our faith? See, we're going to look at a few verses here real quick, talking about Jesus. He is the mark. Let me say it this way. He is the standard. He is the truth. When he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, the question they had just asked was, well, show us the way to the Father. Show us the way. He said, well, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way to the Father. When he says, I am the truth, I am the truth of the Father. If you want to know the Father, he says it just right there in that same chapter. Philip, have I been so long with you? You want me to show you the Father? Philip, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See? Boy, the world needs to see Jesus. That's something he said to me this week. He said to me, the church needs to see Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you what I heard. He says, most of my church has never yet heard the gospel. And he doesn't mean any of it, but he means the fullness of it. And the verse that Alan used that really, I didn't even look it up, but the church has been moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And we're going to look at some of that. Now, for reference, Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1, said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, now this is the part that I want you to focus on, and the express image of his person. The Son is the express image of God. That's what he was telling Philip. Philip, you want to see the Father? Look at me. If you see me, you've seen the Father, because in Hebrews it says, I am his express image. I like to say it this way. Jesus is the Father with legs. He's the will of the Father with legs that we can see. Let's look at another one. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Well, this all of these verses, I'm having to restrain myself from backing up and backing up because they're so rich. There's one statement here I want to get, but it's hard for me not to back up. But let's back up a little bit. The verse I'm after is verse 15. We got to at least start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, and that means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How many of you are glad he has made you able? He's made you able to inherit this, see? Partake of it. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? In the Amplified Bible it says, he is the outward visible expression of the invisible God. You don't get much more plain than that. Don't get much more plain. See, and how it started off in Hebrews, God in divers manners and sundry times spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But then you remember what he said about John the Baptist? He said, there's not ever been a prophet greater than John the Baptist. But yet John the Baptist, if you look at his ministry, he never healed the sick. He never raised the dead. He never made an axe head float. There's not much, a whole lot miraculous that you see in John the Baptist's ministry. Yet Jesus said he's the greatest prophet that ever was. Well, why is that? Well, all the other prophets were foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. Messiah is coming. By various means, Messiah is coming. All of the Old Testament points to Jesus. Messiah is coming. That's all of the prophets. He's coming. The King is coming. But what set John the Baptist apart is the King is here. What set Jesus apart from him is I am the King. The King is coming. The King is here. I am the King. I come to speak to you myself. Sorry, legs, you cannot go yet. Come on, stay here. We got to preach. My legs want to run. Let's get excited. The King is here. And he's come to teach us. Now, go to Luke chapter 4. The simplicity of the gospel. One of the titles I thought of for this message, if he lets me stay on it throughout the whole thing, which he acts like these are his services and not mine, like he can just change it anytime he wants to. But one of the titles I thought I'd put on it was, Have You Heard the Good News? I don't think much of the church has. I really don't think much of the church has heard the good news, even though you've been in church 25, 35, 45 years. Because we still argue over stuff that the King has already settled. Boy, that was a good sentence. Wow. Rewind that. I want to hear that again. The church is still arguing over stuff that the King has already come and settled himself. And we're arguing over it. See? Now, we read this, at least for years I read this. What we're about to read his announcement, where he turned to the book of Isaiah. And for years I read this like, well, this is, you know, maybe the only time that he really did that. Since then, I know when Jesus would go and preach the kingdom, preach the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is at hand. I believe he opened almost every service with this passage. You got to start somewhere. See, in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 61. I believe he's quoting Isaiah 61 here. I didn't really look that up either, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let me find it here. I bet it's in the margin. Yep, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. So let's start in verse 16 here now. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now, by the way, this is not his first sermon. In fact, back up just a little bit. Look at verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. Now, what's just happened? He just got through having his wilderness fight with the devil, where the devil tried to trip him up. And Jesus, the last Adam, overcame where the first Adam failed. He overcame all the temptation. He won. Now it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, plural, being glorified of all. And if we combine the four Gospels, you'll see lots of miracles are already happening before he ever got to Nazareth. That's why they say later down in this passage, well, the things we've heard you've done at Capernaum, do them here. See, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, see, that tells you right there, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord. Now, here is the simplicity of the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now this next sentence. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Everybody knew when he said that sentence, he is talking about the Jubilee. He's talking about the Jubilee of the Old Testament, which was every seventh year, what they call it? Was it you let the land, what do you call it? Dormant, let fallow. And then 70 of those, no, 77, every seven of those, so it's 49 years, every seven of those 7 year periods, 49, on that 50th year, now you had the Jubilee. Do y'all know what happened at the Jubilee? Well, just in case you don't, I happen to look that one up. So go back to Leviticus. I did look that one up so we could refresh ourselves real quick. 25, Leviticus 25. Starting in verse 8. Thou shalt number seven Sabbaths. That's the one I was looking for, Sabbath. Thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years. And the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Well, that makes sense. 7 years times seven, 49. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of what? In the day of atonement. Now, we're still teaching about healing being in the atonement. Okay? The trumpet sound, if you want to know what that's a type of, that's Jesus proclaiming, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. His voice is the trumpet. And when he would send out the 12, they would trumpet. And when he sent out the 70, they would trumpet. They didn't blow a trumpet. They were a trumpet. They're proclaiming. It's the shofar. It's the victory sound when God shows up. The enemies would tremble when Israel would blow that shofar. It's one thing to fight against man. It's another thing to fight against God. Amen? Uh-huh. Verse 9, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. Shall you make the trumpet sound? Now notice, throughout all your land, everywhere, go you into all the cities and all the villages, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. What are you supposed to preach? You're supposed to sound the trumpet that it's the acceptable year of the Lord and the kingdom of God is at hand. And I've come to preach some good news, which we hadn't even read it yet. We'll get back there in a minute. Well, maybe I did read it. I'm going to read it again. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty, freedom, throughout all the land unto those that have been really good this year. Like Santa Claus. He knows who's been naughty. He knows who's been nice. Is that the case? No. Throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It's the Jubilee, buddy. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every... Here it is. You shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Now, the imagery there. See, originally God divided up the land amongst the tribes. Every tribe had their own inheritance, and every member of every tribe had their portion in the inheritance. You knew you had a land, you had an inheritance. But as time would go on, you make bad decisions, you wind up getting in debt, you might wind up being a slave. Somebody else might acquire your land. Things would happen along, and maybe after 49 years, you've become a slave and somebody else is on your land. Does that sound like mankind to you? God gave man, he made the earth and all that's in it for his man. But man messed up. And over a period of time, he found himself a slave. And somebody else was squatting on his land, if I can say it that way. But see, when the Jubilee come, it didn't care. It didn't matter how bad you had been, what kind of bad decisions you had made. Maybe you'd gambled away your inheritance. Somebody else now had the deed or is living on your inheritance land. Maybe you wound up being a slave and you're slopping the pigs at the trough. But buddy, when you heard the sound of the trumpet, when the 50th year come, you go to that slave owner and you say, adios, muchacho. Goodbye. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. You go right back to whoever that is living in your house on your land and you say, hand me the keys. The true owner has come back home. That's the Jubilee. That's the good news. It's the Jubilee. I don't care how many mistakes you made. I don't care how much bondage you're in. I don't care how bad you blew it. You sound the Jubilee. Blow that trumpet so they all can hear it. I'm restoring all of you back to your original inheritance. Woo! The church hadn't heard the good news yet. We're going to hear it. God did not create Adam sick. He doesn't intend for any of us to be sick either. In fact, He's anointed us in the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Gary, are you seeing that? I'm pressing towards the mark, but I will not lower the mark. I will not lower the standard. Let's press towards it. Let's don't lower it. Amen. Paul himself says, I don't count myself to have arrived. Well, I think we're in pretty good company if we're in with Paul. Even he didn't consider him. He says, I'm still pressing towards that mark myself. Well, hallelujah. We're in good company. Y'all liking this? I'm liking it. I want to read it because I like it. I got to read verse 10 again. You shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty through all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession. You shall return every man unto his family. You're not a slave anymore. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And the year of this jubilee, in the year of this jubilee, I love this, you shall return every man unto his possession. Now let's look at how Jesus, go back to Luke 4. Verse 18 again. And I believe Jesus opened up his messages virtually everywhere with this passage to let them know what was going on and why he was preaching what he's preaching. And you got to remember, even though Jesus has not yet died on the cross, when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, God saw what he was doing. God was looking on his heart. Jesus sure didn't get baptized to have his sins washed away, did he? John didn't even understand why he wanted to be baptized. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew God was looking at his heart. And he says, God, I know why you sent me. When John lays me down in this water, Father, I'm vowing to you. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going all the way to death. I'm going all the way, Father. But Father, I've got another part of this. When John raises me up out of the water, that's my faith. You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither shall my flesh see corruption. God looked on his heart and counted that as done. And that's why from that day on, Jesus says, the law and the prophets were until John. He talked about that day he was baptized. But since John, the kingdom of God is preached. He won't physically go to the cross for about another 3 years. But from God's point of view, he's already been to the cross. That's why he can say things like, thy sins are forgiven you. Why? From God's point of view, he's already died for that guy. Anyway. Praise. Good preaching, isn't it? It's not me, it's him. It's his word. Now look at this. Look at how Jesus says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon. Remember that atonement. Did you see that word atonement back there? The year of Jubilee is because of the atonement. Because of what Jesus did for us. That's why the captives are free. He paid the price for us to be free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. If we're going to take the year of Jubilee and preach it to sinners, which we should, what's the message to the sinner? Your sins are forgiven you. If you'll receive Christ, the price has already been paid. If you'll receive Him, that's all that's required. Just receive what God has freely done. Your sins are forgiven. Let's go to Matthew 9. No, excuse me. Let's go to Matthew 4. Let's go to Matthew 4. We'll start there. Then we'll go to 9. Now I want you to get this, that when Jesus would go, we're about to look at Him going around teaching and preaching through all these different synagogues in Galilee, and I believe He opened His message very often with that passage, the Spirit of the Lord. How do you start? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why are we here to listen to you? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. And He would go from Isaiah and lead in to His message. And you can see what the fruit of it. I wish we had MP3s. I wish I had MP3s of some of those messages. But thank God for what we do have. Amen. But you can tell what the message is by the fruit, by the end result that it produced. So watch this, starting in Matthew 4:23. Jesus went about all Galilee. Now, more than Nazareth now. We're talking all Galilee. He went everywhere. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, several places. What was His message about the kingdom? The kingdom of God is at hand. If something is at hand, it's within reach of my hand. It's available to me now. See, that coincides. The King is coming. The King is here. The King is speaking. Amen? The kingdom is available now. But why? Because the King is here. Anyway. So He's teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Well, we just got through reading part of it. Good news, set at liberty, so forth. And healing all manner of sickness. How many manner? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. How many kinds of disease? All manner of disease among the people. And that's a fruit of what He's teaching and what He's preaching. He's telling them. It's the Jubilee. Sick man, you don't have to be sick anymore. God's restoring you to your original inheritance, and He didn't make man sick in the beginning. See, the church hasn't heard this. Church hasn't really preached this. Well, here and there, go to a John G. Lake or a Smith Wigglesworth or Amy Semple. We've got a few down through the ages that's got it. But at large, are you kidding? Most of the time you go to church, they'll try and tell you why you are sick. But the Jubilee, He restores you to your original inheritance. He's putting us back like He originally made us. Well, He did not originally make man sick. Jesus' message, I've come to preach liberty to you. I think when He says captive, I think about that woman bowed over for 18 years. And He plainly says, whom Satan hath bound. whom Satan hath bound. People blame all kinds of stuff on God. Jesus wasn't confused about who's the blesser and who's the curser. He went about healing all that were oppressed of God. Is that what it says? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And I'm thinking about that woman. Was 18 years. Bowed over. Couldn't straighten up. Jesus had a message. It's the Jubilee. It's the Jubilee. You don't have to stay bound up like that. I've come to set you free, captive. He's still come to set them free in us. Amen. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've not come to preach ourselves. We come to preach Christ. The King is here. The King is here. The King is here. He's in you. He's in me. The King is here. And He's here to do exactly what He's always done. Hallelujah. But He can't do it if we don't preach it. And if we don't understand it, how are we going to teach it? That's why He would teach, then He would preach, and then He would heal. Amen? Praise God. Man. Got to read verse 24 again. Do you blame me? We need to eat this till it becomes us. This is eating the lamb, you know. The lamb is the word. It's to eat that lamb, and healing comes into you. Won't it be a day when there's not one feeble one in the church? That's called revival. Verse 24, His fame went throughout all Syria. They brought unto Him all sick people. All sick people, see. Man, the vision Dave had is right. This is what God's plan for this church is. Not just this church, but this. Everyone around the world that's joined themselves with this, that the world should be able to bring the sick, all of them. They brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers, all that means just different kinds of diseases and torments. Torments. Probably devils involved there. Well, I don't know, because those that were possessed with devils. I think some people are tormented. Some people are possessed. Didn't make a lick to Him. And those which were lunatic. What if we put in mental disease? And those that had the palsy. And just, I love these four words. And He healed them. I always like to go them who. Them all. If He healed them, and them is the ones that was brought, and He healed them, then He healed them all. Isn't that right? And there's not a mention here of, well, how come you got that palsy? How'd you get tormented? See, we're supposed to preach repentance to people. We really are. Jesus preached it. Let's preach it to them right after they get healed. Because that's how He did it. That's how He did it. He'd heal them. And then He'd say, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. See, it's because we looked at this last week and the week before, the service before. Repentance is good, but repentance wasn't enough. Remember we looked at the plague? Remember we looked at the plague and we looked at the serpents, and one of them, they did repent, but that didn't stop it. The incense had to be offered. That's the atonement. The brazen serpent had to be mounted on the pole and they had to look. That's a type of the atonement. Repentance is good, but Adam couldn't repent his way out of what happened. There had to be an atonement made for him. Blood, innocent blood had to be shed for him. The lamb had to be crucified. Amen? But now once we're healed, once we're saved, go and sin no more. Lest the worst thing come on you. Got to read verse 24 again. I may read it 10 more times. And His fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto Him all sick that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils. God, what were those services like? You ever seen devil-possessed people? Man, I know Alan's seen a bunch, a slew of them. Slither on the floor like snakes. Say some of the most foul, cursed things. One lady, the first time I ever really saw a devil cast out of a person, she's trying to run the preacher off. It's just what happened anyhow. She just took her blouse off. And there was a bunch of us there. The preacher had already told us, I'll let you go to learn, but don't you dare try and help me. When that happened, I sure glad he didn't want me to help him. I mean, she's doing anything and everything trying to run this dude off. And in the name, I mean, he got her free. Took about an hour, close to an hour. Maybe longer, I don't know, it seemed like forever. Anyway, I'm just saying, you ever seen devil? What were those services like? All kinds of things. Not normal, nicey-nice church service. Not when you bring the devil possessed. But he healed them all. You know why? It's the Jubilee. It's the Jubilee. God did not make man possessed with no devils. That's not God's plan for man. To be lunatic, to be palsy, to be tormented, none of that is the inheritance God has for us. He is a good, good Father. We are loved by Him, and He sent Jesus to set us free. Not only free from sin, but free from sickness, free from torment, free from devils. And it's part of the atonement. An atonement was made for you. Price was paid for you. Verse 25, and there followed him great multitudes of people. I bet they did. They'll be following now too, and he gets to show up like that. From Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now go over to Matthew 9. We'll see some more of this. Matthew 8, to me, is just one of the most fabulous healing chapters in all the Bible. In fact, we could just come to verse 16 again in chapter 8, then we'll go to 9. It says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed a few. There it is again. See, the Jubilee trumpet was sounded to all. Can I say the good, the bad, and the ugly? It was, I don't mean ugly appearance, maybe ugly acting is what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. Good neighbor, bad neighbor, mean neighbor. The trumpet was blown for everybody. And he healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I don't know how many times over the years I've heard Pastor Dave say, and I know this flies right in the face of recent history here at the prayer center. We're not going to lower the standard because of our experience. We're going to hold to the standard and change our experience. But Dave would say, I've heard him, you've heard him, it's illegal for cancer to kill you. And the reason is, it already killed you once. Because Christ died of every damnable disease, and you are in Him. You already died of cancer in Christ. You already died of heart failure in Him. You already died of every disease known to man and that's not even known to man yet. It's illegal for any kind of disease to kill you, even to attack you. Well, it can try, but it can't stay. Those germs they would put on John G. Lake from the bubonic plague, those germs, I bet they tried. But as soon as they touched his skin, because, and he knew what it was, wasn't nothing about his skin. He said, it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's emanating from me. It's in me. And it's coming out of my spirit. He uses the word ooze. It oozes out of my spirit. God in me. And it kills those germs. What if we go on the attack against germs? Do you ever get that picture? What if germs start running from you? Isn't that a good picture? What about that picture? I like that one. Uh-oh, here comes a Christian. Running the other germs. I got to go. They touch me, they'll kill me. Isn't that what John said? Okay, Matthew 9. I'm having too much fun. I just want to do the whole chapter. We got enough time to do parts of it. There's Matthew 9. He entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, there brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their what? See, what you're going to find there's Jesus healed a multitude of ways. There's not just one way. That's why you can't put God in a box. How many times did he say things like, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Daughter, thy faith has healed thee. Be it unto thee according to thy faith or what you have believed. Amen? That's one way to receive based on your faith. But how many knows that's, you can't really preach that about Lazarus? I don't think it was Lazarus' faith that got him raised from the dead. The man's dead. I'm pretty sure there's no, you know. But Jesus raised him anyway. Amen? See, there's the gifts of the Spirit. They're just plain old, another way. Just the plain old gifts of the Spirit can operate through you. Get somebody healed. It's not their faith really. And it's not even really your faith at that moment. It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's just a pure gift. Remember that time God raised, this was early on. Dave tells this story. I'm going to do my best to tell it the way he says, this guy come up and he had this arm that wouldn't come up any higher than about this. If for those that can't see me, I'm like taking my right arm and I'm just barely bringing it up a little bit, you know, because there's something wrong with the guy's shoulder and he couldn't raise his arm. Dave says, but the gift of faith come on me. He says, when that gift of faith comes on you, you can't not believe. He said, it was on me. I just come up and I got that guy by the arm and I just raised it straight up in the air. And he looked at me like, you killed me, you know. The guy was expecting incredible pain, but he was okay. And he got healed. But that night, when Dave went to sleep, he had a dream. And in the dream, when he lifted that man's arm, it broke off. And the guy was running around beating Dave with his arm. He said, God, don't you ever do that to me again. Because that gift wasn't on him then. He's just Dave again now. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Why? That was the natural part of him, see. But see, that's another way that God does it. God didn't lead just one way. Faith is important. But thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, Matthew 9, verse 2. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. In the early days, I thought, how in the world could Jesus say that to him? Because he hasn't died on the cross yet. Yeah, he did. I didn't know it then. I know it now. Yeah, he did. He died in his heart the day he was baptized by John the Baptist. He'd already died for this man's sins. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now he set the captive free, did he not? He restored the man to his original inheritance, because God did not make man to have the palsy. Look at this next one. Verse 9. And as Jesus passed from passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, for sake of time, I want to stay with the miracles. Come on down to verse 18. We'll teach on fasting. We're in the fasting season. I'm being real nice to you and jumping over the fasting part today. Not the whole quarter, but just today. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she might live. See, and what you're seeing here, this is another case of a dead person. It's not her faith that gets her raised. Whose faith is it? It's the Father, see? He's declaring his faith. Come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, now on the way there, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, I didn't bring this lesson with me. Someone shared it with me also this week, and I need to finish studying it now. See, he was famous for this. That's not the only time. There was several places you'll find where people would touch the hem of his garment, and they'd be healed. Well, word had gotten to her. Somebody preached Christ to her. Somebody told her, said, look, if you can just touch this fellow's garment, you can be healed. And if you've been 12 years, you're ready, you know. So she said, well, if he did it for them, it'll happen for me. So she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Now notice, thy faith hath made thee whole. So see, there's more than one way. But faith is important. Don't ever discount faith. The just shall live by faith. Okay? And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. There's another teaching that I launch from this verse in Psalms chapter 1, where it talks about meditating the word of God day and night. It says, don't be among the scorners. This is a scorner. This is a perfect definition of a scorner. Here is the living word declaring the truth. But scorners mock that based on what they see. Doesn't matter what the living word is saying. I make fun of that. I ridicule that. I scorn that. I know the truth based on what I see. But that's the opposite of living by faith. But they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. When Jesus departed thence, just in so far, what have we seen? A man with the palsy, a woman diseased with the issue of blood 12 years. Now he's raised the dead. Now, two blind men. I've been anointed to preach sight to the blind, the good news. When Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." When he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, what a question. Don't ever tell me faith is not important. Do you remember at Nazareth when he preached that good news? Everywhere else, miracles had been flowing like water. All over Galilee, Capernaum, everywhere. But he comes to Nazareth. And it says there he could do no mighty work. He was just able to heal a few sick people. Of course, today we'd call that a mighty work. And he marveled at their what? Unbelief. It does matter. It matters a lot what you believe. And he asked these two blind men, believe you? Now, the way he words this, he doesn't say, do you believe God's able to do this? What would anybody say? Well, of course. See, there's no faith in knowing God can. Really, there's not. There's no faith in knowing God can. You can ask anybody, what? Can God do it? Oh, yeah, God can. No. Faith comes when you know what God will do. That's exactly why he sent Jesus. One of the main reasons, so that we could know the will of God. You want to know what his will is? Jesus is God's will with legs. So you can see the will of God. Even that leper, he's the only one in the New Testament that doubted whether the leper wasn't doubting whether God can. He came to Jesus and said, I know you can heal me if you will. And that's where most of the church is. Even if they acknowledge God can, they don't know if he wants to. They don't know if he will. But faith comes when you know what he will do. But here he asked him, he didn't ask him, do you believe God can do it? He said, do you believe I can do it? Now, why would you ask that? Because everywhere he went, he preached that message. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Deliverance to the captives, sight to the blind. Do you believe I'm able to do this? In other words, do you believe that what I told you? Do you believe that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Do you believe the message? Believe you that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, now here it is, according to your faith, be it unto you. But they believed it. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows it. But they, when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. I don't blame them. You know, when Peter and the apostles were arrested and brought before the tribunal, and they were commanded, don't you ever preach this name. Don't be preaching this name of Jesus anymore. They said, should we obey you or God? We cannot help but speak that which we have seen and heard. God heals you of being blind and you're going to be shut up about it? I don't think so. I don't think so. Everybody's going to know about it. Oh, hallelujah. Now, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man. Could write Gary right there, but anyway. Trust me. When I got saved, a dumb man was brought to him. That's not what this means anyway. It's talking about somebody who couldn't speak. They brought to him a dumb man. I can't help it. Every time I read that, I think, I'm the guy right there. I'm the one. They brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. That might have been true too. I don't know. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Boy, the people are happy. The people rejoice. But notice the religious crowd. But the Pharisees said, how did they do that? The toad anointing. You know, everyone is, yay, yay, yay. And the Pharisees are,
he casteth out devils through the prince of devils.
Y'all can just hear them. But see, that it doesn't matter what they say about you. Your job is to keep on teaching, preaching, healing. Look at this. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. And here we go again. Teaching. Why teaching first? You see, look, it's the same three. It's that same pattern again. Teaching in their synagogues, then preaching the gospel, then healing. It's always in that sequence. Why teaching first? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm sure now I'm just convinced he would start off that teaching most of the time with Isaiah 61:62. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm the one. I'm the one that's been prophesied. That the prophets, they spoke of me. I'm here. The kingdom, I've been anointed to preach to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. You don't have to be captives anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be blind anymore. You don't have to, God has come. It's the year of Jubilee, and they all knew what the year of Jubilee meant. Every person is restored to his original inheritance. God's original inheritance for man, you can see it in Adam. God made Adam in the image of God. And God is not sick. God is not blind. God is not deaf. God is not poor. Amen. Amen. God is not sinful either. Amen. Neither are you. Amen. Now, your flesh may still love it. Not the real you. He's restored you. Get Alan Taylor 101 through 110. Teaching about the real you. The real you. He was preaching about, again, about the natural soul of man is very much like the natural soul of an animal. You know, chemically based brain. They have that too. They don't have an eternal spirit, but they got a soul. He was preaching about how dogs. Dogs can, you know, they know when they've done wrong. And that very night, I come home and I was watching the America's Funniest Videos. I know y'all don't ever do anything unspiritual like that, but I was watching America's Funniest. And this lady comes in, she's videoing it, and it's a big dog, like a boxer, big old boxer dog. And boy, you could tell he knew he was in trouble. He's like this. And he had a feather stuck to his mouth. Had a feather. And she's going, I forget his name, Bosco, have you been doing something wrong? He just looked away like this. He just looked off to the side. Where'd that feather come from? Then the camera goes to her bedroom. That dog had gotten into her feather pillows. Tore them apart. You never saw such a mess. I mean, there were pillows everywhere. And her voice rises. You have eaten up all of my feather pillows. And about that time, the camera comes around to the dog and the dog takes off. And he's slinking down the hall, and she has to go find him. And when she gets to him, he rolls her over on his back and puts his little paws up like, have mercy on me. Such a perfect picture of the soul, the natural, chemically based part of us. That part of us that has to be renewed to think like the spirit mind. Because you've got another mind on the inside of you. You've got a spiritual mind birthed from Jesus Christ himself, from the Father, that is capable of understanding God, your inheritance, the kingdom, dominion, authority, understanding who you really are. Don't ever confuse who you really are with that dog. You are not your natural soul. You have the mind of Christ. You're a child of the living God, anointed by the Holy Ghost to be on the same mission. Jesus said, the Father, the same way you sent me, I am sending them. We're supposed to be going around doing exactly the same thing. We did the toad anointing, verse 35. He casts out devils through the prince of devils. But Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Now preaching, see, teaching is first you tell them from the word. You teach. This is what God has said. But preaching is like an exhortation. Now I'm telling you, this is for you. I'm telling you, you can have this today. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is at hand. What God has promised is now available. You can have it today. You don't have to wait any longer. I've been anointed to set you free. Come get in the line right now. And they come. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Teaching, preaching, and healing. But there was too many. See, Jesus, as long as he's confined to one physical body, there's too many. Because look at verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, I mean, the crowds just had to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He was moved with compassion on them. Let's say it another way. There's too many. How do we do this where your love, your compassion can reach all of them that need it? It's too many. He says, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Boy, that's true today. But the laborers are few. That's true also. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then you go right into the next verse. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Go down to verse 7. Look at what he commands them. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wants them preaching the same message he was preaching. I love how he says this. See, this is a real general. This is the king. This is the king. He doesn't say pray for the sick, does he? Heal the sick. That's where we're moving right now. I'm telling you, this church and all who's joined with us, we're going from praying for the sick, healing the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Are you walking there yet? Not all the time. But I'm pressing toward the mark. I thank God that I've been privileged to hear the message by Pastor Dave. Otherwise, I wouldn't know how. See, all my whole life, I grew up in church, and you could just summarize so many of those messages. You need to walk in more love. Well, thanks a lot. I'm sure glad I gave my offering in the bucket to find out something I already knew. Gary needs to walk in more love. Duh. Can I get my offering back? Duh. Gary, you need to have more faith. Well, thanks again. Something I didn't already know. But it wasn't until we come here that I heard somebody finally tell me how. How? That there was something I could do on purpose. And it was my choice. The Lord would never force me. But I could have all of God I want. I can walk in all the love I can. I started to say stand. I think there's a lot of truth to that. But I can walk in more love. But now I know more about how I can walk in more love. How I can turn myself over to the Holy Spirit. And if you're listening, you're going, Gary, tell us how. Dave already has. He already has all of those series at daveroberson.org. All of those series. And his book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. It's like a college curriculum. If you want to walk in more love, want to be more conformed to the image of Christ, if you want to bring that flesh under submission, whatever it is. Dave, for 30 some odd years, laid down. He laid down those principles for us. By the way, you can afford them. They're all there for free. They're all there for free. So, well, I don't know how, Brother Gary. I don't know how to do them. They're internet things. There's a teenager on your block that to him, it's like Jane, see the ball. And for a cheeseburger, he'll do it for you. And he'll do it for you every day for a cheeseburger, you know. My good friend, I can't think in my natural mind right now. who lives 96 years old, not my mother. She's 6 months older than my mother. Peggy, thank you. Peggy gets in her, Peggy's 96, lives in the mountains of Virginia, right close to West Virginia, I think. Gets in her own vehicle, drives to the, because they don't have any internet up on the mountain, drives to the library in the town. Takes a thumb drive, puts it in the computer. She had to learn how to do it. Say, well, I don't know how. Learn! Peggy learned. Come on. You're not going to get a participation trophy. You, don't tell me you're hungry and sit on your Amazing Grace. Anyway, she gets in her own vehicle, drives to the library, downloads the newest teachings onto her little thumb drive, drives back home, puts it in her computer, and listens to every message. She is caught up with all the messages here at the prayer center. Now, come on. You hungry or you're not hungry? Come on now. Anyway, I told you I'm a teacher, not a pastor. Do you know, let's go over one more. No, I'm hearing that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Go back to Luke 4. It's enough today. Y'all got some, you got enough steak to chew on for a little while. Now listen, all of this is in the atonement. You didn't earn nothing. Jesus paid the price. Jesus did all the work. Even when you're praying, I don't care if you pray in tongues for 3 days straight, that's His grace that gave you the ability to do it, gave you life and a tongue to do it with. It's all His grace. None of this is, you're not earning nothing from God. I like to use that analogy again. I do have an engineering degree. I know you don't think it, but I do. I have an engineering degree. From Oklahoma State University. It's an engineering degree. It's a 5-year curriculum. Now, I finished it in 4.5 years. Why? Because I wanted to get done. So I worked my tail off. I took extra hours. Anyone takes 18 college hours every semester, you know I'm working at it. That's a load, okay? Now, but the thing, and I got my degree. Now, the thing of it is, I could have got that same degree in 8 years. Just show up. Half the time, you know. I could have gotten it in 12 years. I could have got it in 16 years. I could still not be done with it today. And that's a lot of Christians. Now, He's given you the Holy Ghost. If you've been around here, you know the message. It's not like you're not going to stand before God and be able to tell Him, I didn't know how. I didn't know how to change. I didn't know what to do. I said, did you not attend and listen to Dave Roberson's messages? Yes, I did. I got to close this. I'm getting mean. I can tell I'm getting mean. Luke 4. Luke 4. Yes, sir. All right. I can't even do that. Listen to me. Here. Previews. When He sent out the 12, and see, now we know better what Jesus preached. Everywhere He'd show up, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel. Did you know the 12 couldn't say that? Hello. The 12 could not say that. What was their message? They came to preach Christ. Not themselves. Their message would start off something like this. The promised Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. They'd start telling them about Jesus. Now then they might quote that verse about Him. God has anointed Him with the Holy Ghost and with power. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Him. And He has sent us here in His name to represent Him. He is the King of the kingdom. And God the Holy Ghost is here with us. And when we speak in His name, the Holy Ghost will manifest the will of God. That's your message to the world. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ. Now where is Christ? So see, that was their message. Your message is a little different yet. You don't tell them about the Christ that's still at Jerusalem. You tell them about the Christ in you. Christ is in you. You have the anointed one in you everywhere you go. We'll get into that more as time comes along. Are y'all getting anything out of this? The church, I'm going to say it again, the church at large, really, what he told me, has never heard the gospel. They've never really heard it, like he taught it there. The kingdom of God is at hand. You don't have to stay sick. Church doesn't preach that. We're going to preach it. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise. Well, it's all him. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, we are going to have Calling in the Lost tonight at 7. You're welcome to come to that. You know, there's not many places where you can go and be taught for about 20 minutes how to call those things which be not as though they were. That does not come normally to humans. Humans normally call things that are the way they are. They tell it like it is. There's no power to change what is by saying what is because it already is. God calls those things that be not as though they were. And so part of what we do, we have a little short teaching, about 20, 30 minutes. And then we do the confessions. But it's good practice to call those things which be not as though they were. All right. Just bow your head for a minute. I don't often do this. If you're in this audience today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, here is the good news. Your sins are forgiven in Christ. All that's asked is that you receive Him. He already took the punishment for every sin. He already took it. And if you will receive Him, if you will believe what the Word says, that God raised Him from the dead, and if you will accept Him today as your Lord and Savior, from this day forward you call Him Lord. The Bible says you'll be saved. And if you're in the sound of my voice, whether you're in this building or hearing or watching by video, and we're all going to do this with you. We're going to join right now. If you want to know you're saved, if you want to be saved and know it, repeat this prayer. We're going to say it along with you. Say, Father, I have sinned. I heard your gospel today that Jesus paid the price for my sin. Father, I received that sacrifice. Forgive me of all my sins. Based on the finished work of Jesus. Father, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. From this day forward, Jesus, you are my Lord. Come into me. Make me brand new. Make me a child of God. And lead me to the Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that in this room or by MP3 or by video, if you prayed that prayer, God cannot lie. His word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just did it. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by emotions. Trust the word of God. You are born again. Hallelujah.